Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome on this chilly Tuesday morning. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on High FM 101.9. I am your host, Adrian Bugatti. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you'd like to share, please send us a message. You can SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. You can send a telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at highfm.com. Our Twitter handle is at highfm and the Facebook page is 101.9 highfm. So coming up in today's show, we're looking at some cooking terms again to see what they mean and some spices that I've chosen to talk about. So the spices are chili peppers, chives, and coriander. And the cooking terms are coring, confit, cure, and curdle. So those are what's coming up. And then also an interview that even though we're focusing on Purim at the moment, the interview is with Lindy Foreman, who changed the entire way I think about Pesach prep. I've also got updates from around the world on Kashrut. So let's get on with the show for today. Recipes can be confusing. Different countries use different words for the same thing. It can cause even the most gifted cooks to change their mind about attempting a recipe. And as we've begun to do each week, I try and explain these terms and how they apply to recipes. So the first cooking term that I am going to do is coring. So coring means removing the central section of some fruits, including the seeds and the tougher material that we the insides that we don't normally use. So that's, you can core pears, most commonly obviously apples, but pineapples as well are cored. Then there's a word called confit. Confit basically is usually used when we're working with duck, but it can be any meat, and I've even done vegetables this way. So with meat, it means it's cooked in its own fat, or if it doesn't have a lot of fat, you can use other fat, and you cook it at a very low temperature, so it takes a long time. And because of the way it's cooked, it's not actually oily or fatty when you eat it. I've actually done this with baby eggplant. All I did was clean the eggplant really well and poke some holes in, and then put oil into a Corningware or something that can go in your oven. I put the eggplant in about 160, and look, it took about 2.5 hours to cook, but they were literally, you could just pop them in your mouth and they melted. It was absolutely delicious. Then we're talking about curing. Curing is a non-heated method of cooking where food item is packed with salt mixture and left so that the moisture draws out. So for the most common way of curing that we know in South Africa, obviously, is biltong, which is cured not only with salt, it's other herbs and spices, but you can cure fish that way as well, dries it out and makes it nice and flaky. And then curdling. Curdle means it's egg-based mixtures, and this happens when you cook them too quickly. So you've seen it happen with your oily whip when you've added it to a hot soup. You pour in the oily whip, and it suddenly comes out like lumpy and very textury. So to get around that, what you normally would do then is take your egg or your cream or whatever you're adding to your hot liquid, you put it separately. Okay, and then you slowly add the hot liquid to the cold liquid, and when it's like an even temperature, you can pour it back into the hot mixture, and it'll avoid that separation. So curdling is the protein separates from the liquids and gives you that lumpy mixture. So very common when making homemade custard. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on High FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bugatti. If you have any suggestions or tips that you would like to share with us, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50. You can send us a Telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. Twitter handle is at chaifm, or you can reach out on our Facebook page, which is 101.9 chaifm. Don't forget, after the break that's still coming up, we're going to be covering some spices, and also my interview with Lindy Foreman, who changed my Pesach prep from punishment to almost pleasure. So that's all coming up next. So before we go to the break, we're going to do a little bit about the spices. The first spice I'm going to talk about is chili pepper. Very common. And a chili pepper is a special spice. There are so many different peppers with different amounts of heat to them. But in general, when you hear the word chili, you know it's going to be hot. Now, chili is what's called a cultivar. That means it's specifically grown. And the variations are often like hybrids and mixed together. So that's an important thing. Chilies are actually native to the Americas, but they are cultivated in climates all over the world. Anywhere where it's warm, you can grow a chili. So the most common chili peppers of these cultivars are the cayenne pepper, the jalapeno, the serrano, and then the Thai chili peppers. And here in South Africa, our own bird's eye chili. Some of the hottest chili peppers are cultivars, and those are the habaneros, the Carolina Reaper, the ghost chili pepper, and then one that we use on all our food, Tabasco. That pepper is specially grown and cultivated just for Tabasco. So you can eat your chili peppers fresh or dried, and they're used to make chili powder, to flavor barbecues, like barbecue sauces, to make a nice hot curry, and other spices. By the way, our African bird's eye chili is one of the hottest chilies in the world. So depending on how much you like, be careful how you use it. Remember that if you keep the seeds in, the chili will be hotter. So if you don't want as much heat, scrape out your chili seeds. And remember, always wash your hands with soap and water after using chili so that you don't accidentally stick it in your eye. We'll be back after the break.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008. Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to bri or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Essen Fressen show on Chai FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bogarty. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking and food that you'd like to share with us, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50. You can send a Telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. Our Twitter handle is at chaifm and the Facebook page is 101.9 chaifm. So back to talking about different spices. So we covered the chilies, and chilies are quite an interesting sort of vegetable or fruit or whatever you want to call them. The fact is that there is a special measurement that you use to measure a chili, and their heat index is called the Scoville heat unit, and it depends on where it is, what it is. Our African bird's eye chili that I was talking about earlier is at 175,000 Scoville heat units. So it is often known as peri-peri, which is normal. You would only grow them to about 2 centimeters, but 1 centimeter is a heck of a lot of heat in your food, and they come in red. Chilies come in all sorts of colors. We've got red, yellow, brown, green, and orange. Color doesn't always mean heat, but in general, if you see a red one, you know to stay away from it. There are pale yellow chilies called an albino sweet pepper. And just remember that our sweet peppers, our bell peppers, are also part of the family, but the heat has been grown out of them. So those are the important things to remember about chilies. The next thing we're going to talk about is my chives. Now, chives is a very little used product, except for decoration, I think, in most recipes. But it's actually a beautiful flavor in especially soups and salads. It's a nice seasoning. It's a very common in French dishes. It's a tiny, small plant. It's related to the onion, so it does have that slightly oniony tang. And it's also grown because it's pretty. So the leaves are used for fresh or dried, and often you would put them into egg dishes, and like I said, soups, salads, vegetables. They make a very pretty garnish as well. And then the most controversial of them all, coriander, or also known as cilantro. It is also called Chinese parsley. It looks very much like parsley and can often be mistaken when you're just looking at the leaves for flat leaf parsley, but it's not. So coriander is part of the Mediterranean Middle Eastern regions, and it's cultivated in all over the world, also because of the food. They use the dried fruits of seed, which is then the coriander, which is done into the powders, and it's used in sausages and curries. In Scandinavia, it's also used in pastry. It's used in liqueurs and in English, what they call confit, which we've just discussed previously. So the confit fruits would be fruits that have been done in oil with the flavors. The leaves are known as cilantro, so that's where the confusion comes in. And it's used in Latin America, India, and China in their delicious dishes. So one of the things that you do need to understand, so it has a very similar taste to sage, but not quite as strong. There are records of the use of coriander all the way back to 5000 before the Common Era, and the Romans used it to flavor bread. It was also used in aromatherapies to keep people calm and to mask the unpleasant taste of drugs and other odors. Now, here's the thing. Some of you may not like the taste of coriander. In fact, you think it tastes like soap. Please note, that is a genetic issue. It is genetically ingrained in us or embedded in us to either like coriander or not. Thankfully, my family all love coriander in their food, because I love the taste of fresh coriander. But you either love it or hate it. It's not one of those little, I can live without it kind of things. It is one of the most widely eaten herbs in the world. The entire plant is edible, which is quite unusual for most of these herbs, as sometimes you will find, for instance, rhubarb, you can eat the stems, but the leaves and the roots can be quite toxic. Cilantro or coriander has a lot of health benefits, and it can be used in a lot of different cooking. And it often I have some on hand, so when I'm taking food pictures, I use it as a decoration because it kind of looks like parsley. So that's it. You are listening to the Essen Fressen Show on High FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bugatti. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you would like to share, please send us a message on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50. Telegram message is 061-895-1019. And our email address is onair@highfm.com. Twitter handle is @highfm, or you can reach us on the Facebook page, which is 101.9 High FM. Please remember that all the recipes that I share on the show do get put onto the website, and you can download them directly from there. Today's recipe is obviously based on Purim. Now, with Purim coming up, I would actually like to read a letter from the community doctors all about Purim and COVID. Dear community, we the undersigned are a group of representatives of the medical profession who are largely responsible for your care. As you are aware, the second surge of corona pandemic was a brutal and very trying time for all doctors, nurses, and auxiliary staff in both public and private sectors. We are extremely concerned about the third wave and are therefore urging and appealing to everyone to make sure that this festival of Purim is not the catalyst for the beginning of another surge of coronavirus. We understand the challenge of keeping the spirit of this extra special day whilst making absolutely certain that our behavior does not endanger anyone, including ourselves and our families. It has been evidenced that large community events are known to cause super spreading of the disease. We are well aware of this from Rage last year, which began our second surge, and Purim the year before was the beginning for in many countries for the first surge. With this in mind, we need to remind you that this is not the time for communal meals and events and senseless alcohol consumption, which causes laxity in behavior, further contributing to the spread of corona. Each person should ask their rabbis how to conduct themselves, but is strongly urged that seudahs are restricted to each person's home or family bubble. Joining different families together is not a good idea. Mishloach Monot Deliveries also has the potential for virus transmission. Please be very careful handing over parcels to each other, and entering and leaving multiple homes can also spread the disease. Once again, consult your rabbis as to how to achieve the mitzvah without risking yourself or others. We suggest that you limit this to the minimal amount. Everyone knows someone who unfortunately passed away due to COVID, and there are still many people who remain very sick and debilitated following their illness. Purim is a day for prayer and miracles. Please use this power of tefillah to daven for all the sick people, as well as that Hashem protects his nation and heals the world from this pandemic. We wish you all Purim Sameach and a safe and blessed Chag. There are 15 doctors listed on this letter. So please, everybody, do be careful. I know we will be in our family, rather than giving, Mashloch Monad individually, rather donate to charity, then we can do that as well. Thank you.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life. Whether you are chalashing for chalas or wanting to bry or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bargatti. It's all about the food.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Essen Fressen show on Chai FM 101.9, and I'm your host, Adrian Bargatti. Now, I know we're all busy worrying about Purim, which is on Friday, but I decided to jump in ahead, and I have got somebody who's changed my view of prepping for Pesach. I'd like to tell you about this lady. So this is a WhatsApp group that I joined. I think it was 2018 when I joined it. And it's called Prep for Pesach, and it's taken my Pesach prep from punishment to almost pleasure. So welcome, Lindy Foreman.
Thank you so much, Adrian, for having me, and hello to all your listeners.
So, one of the things that I love about the group that you've done now, it's just a WhatsApp group, so people can't post or speak to you. You just every day, right. I don't know how you do it, you're disciplined, but every day you post out another thing to do, and you just keep us all on track. But how do you remember, remember to constantly do it, especially like the first time you were doing it?
Yeah, so I'll give you a bit of history. How it all started was it was Pesach 2013. And what actually happened, I remember spending the entire time in my car and going from one shop to the next and being completely and utterly overwhelmed with what I was doing. And by the time that I arrived at Pesach and, you know, after all the cooking and the prepping and at the seders, I was so stressed and so exhausted that I couldn't even enjoy what I was doing. I just wanted to go to sleep. And after Pesach had finished, I was just lying in bed one night and I was like, there has to be a way that we can do this where we can start Pesach early and not have this crazy lunatic time, like insane time driving around apart from everything else that we have on our plates. And this Pesach prep group was, thank God, born. And we started it officially in 2014 with about 10 to 20 ladies.
Okay. So I just had a look in my little diary book. Mine goes back to 2017 is when I joined. And I mean, so for those who don't know, every week from
every Monday, Sunday or Monday, yeah, depending.
So from about what? It's 8 weeks before Pesach starts that you do this.
So we give the moms some time to sort out school and stationery and books and uniforms. And then we try and start about the end of January.
Okay. So, that was like the main thing. Like the first time I saw this and I thought, but it's only January. And then you count down the weeks and you have a look. And it starts like with little simple things like checking on your gas cylinder if you're using a gas stove. And, like just such a simple, you know, easy way to get sorted. You know, and it's things like stuff that you can put into your budget slowly, which is like, I'm a big thing on budgeting. So you can add everything like slowly onto your list so that it doesn't come to Pesach and you get this massive shock because technically Pesach, like that 1 week of Pesach, for most of us, costs an entire month's worth of groceries.
True. Very true.
So, that was like such a big thing for me. That was such a pleasure for me was the fact that here's somebody who tells me exactly what to do instead of me having to think about it every time, which I'm always happy with. and it was just practical stuff. It was, you know, looking to see, you know, the fact that this is where you should go get this. Or like for me, like we were talking before the show, I was talking that I have this little room outside and it's like my so-called Pesach kitchen and it has a little gas stove there. And your thing was, and I mean, I remember the first few Pesachs, like halfway through cooking, I run out of gas and now I can't find gas.
That's true.
Whereas your one actually tells you to check your gas before we even start.
So what we do is we try to start off with products that you guys can go and buy. So we start off with, for example, black bags, easy accessible, doesn't need a heksher. We go and buy, for example, nappies that moms might run out of in the weeks leading up or the few days leading up for Pesach. And which mom wants to run out when she's so bogged down in the kitchen to get nappies or shampoos that, you know, have to be checked for Pesach. So we start off with products that are easily accessible before the Pesach product foods actually come out. And we spread it over time and we take these tasks and we break it down. We get the momentum going, you go and buy and we get everybody mindful of the preparation.
Yeah.
So that by the time Pesach comes, all you're doing really, you're buying your food. And we try also not only buying, but cleaning early.
Yes.
So we're changing over a week before Pesach, if you know, it's suggested. And by the time you come to the Pesach Seders, you've cooked, you've cleaned, there is nothing left to do but have a cup of coffee and enjoy your home.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me because, like you said, how exhausted you were for me, like sitting down, I've got like in the old days, 20, 30 people sitting at my Seder table.
Sure.
And all I could think of is I wish they'd go home, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like a big thing for me, that we had that, that ability.
So, and Andrea, and I must add is that a lot of moms are now supplementing the income, where as years gone by, it was just the husband who was bringing in the income. But now we have moms who are working full day, taking care of the kids. You know, it's not easy. And yeah. Pesach does not have to be a dreadful chag. It really is something that we can enjoy. And if we plan ourselves and do it slowly, your Pesach will be different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Planning for the Pesach, because as much as some of the husbands want to help, it doesn't always work that way. For some reason, and maybe that's our fault as mothers, we're not teaching our sons how to be helpful over Pesach, or in the kitchen or anything like that, to like actually do it. And that's something that, you know, it's nice that I don't have to worry. I mean, I used to have to try get everything done almost like the day of Pesach because yes. I was at work the whole time.
Yes.
So I would take a day's leave beforehand. Otherwise you can't get ready for Pesach. So the group has been amazing. So I wanted to give people some examples. Okay. And it was things like crock pots. If you're going to buy one, go look at prices now. The Chal of Yisrael milk, it's reminding people that it's Pesach year around, the Chal of Yisrael milk, the long life one. And then there were like little things that you know, check, you know, just check your cupboards, like your medicine cupboards, things that you normally take, just to find out, can you take them during Pesach and that. And it was just nice to know, I mean, like now I see now you can get the alcohol-free mouthwashes.
Yes.
Which was always a problem before. So your plan, your reminders were able to give us all time to go get the correct stuff in plenty of time that the rush didn't run out. So I must admit, I can remember with your planning, the one year, nobody could find matzah. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, there was a shortage because of the shipment, correct?
Yeah. It was one of the best things was like knowing I actually had enough matzah. I hadn't bought a lot, but I'd bought like what I knew I would need for the Seder. And so I wasn't worried about the rest of the time. And that's the group that's the reason, like, you know, for me, it was absolutely fantastic to have the Seder, you know, to have this, thing connected, you know, getting it ready and everything.
Yes.
So what keeps you going though, doing this? I mean, 2014 to 2021 is a long time to be doing this.
It is a long time, but you know, if it's something that can contribute to all women who are preparing for Pesach, feeling calm, and this calmness will definitely 100% feel its way into its family. A stressed mother equals stressed children, equals stressed husband, equals a horrible Pesach. And if mommy's calm, mommy's organized, everybody will come to love the chag of Pesach. And that is ultimately what we want. Pesach is a man of redemption. And before, every woman used to feel that this Pesach was going back into an Egypt, go back into slavery.
Yeah.
And we've tried to change that. Also there is Tehila Ozeri's group, which focuses on the products of Pesach.
Yeah.
And we also work in collaboration with her as well, so that we put it out there. Obviously, you know, we can go into that.
Yeah. I try to get Tehila, but Tehila's radio shy and doesn't want to come on. But hers also was the Pesach shopping. I mean, during the year, she's got her bargains and the handy help and info groups on Telegram.
Yes.
But she's also got the Pesach one, which is the shopping for Pesach. It's called Pesach Products and Information, and that's on Telegram, so you can just search that up.
Yes.
I think she's also got...
You'll have to add, yes.
Yeah. You've got to ask...
So you'll ask one of the admins to add you.
Sorry? I spoke over you.
You'll have to actually ask one of the admins to add you for security purposes.
Yeah. So that's it. That is. Telegram does have a security risk that anybody can find the group. You've got to ask the admins. And even with the Lindy's group, we will put up the link, but the thing you've got to remember that if it does, you can't just keep messaging because Lindy also works. So we can only attend to calls later on in the day. That's not
Thank
a problem.
You.
So the link will be up. If it's not on Chai FM's Facebook page, it will definitely be up on my Facebook page, which is the Kasher in Your Life page. I will have put the link in there. And people who want to do kosher can then join that. I think that's a way to do it. I might have to think of a different way to do it because of security reasons. It's a public page, but let's see what we do.
Okay.
But we will make it available for everybody. I might even just put it on the recipe that I'm going to share later on the show. So that's the thing. So like I was saying, this group, I mean, the inspiration is great. What I like about it was its advice, whether you follow it or not, that's your menhag, your choices, but it works for everybody. It doesn't matter how you are. I'm just looking at, so today's one, let's say today's one, right? First thing she starts with, unfortunately, is it's 5 weeks to pay.
The countdown.
Let's, just in case we forgot. Although I must admit, in previous years, Pesach did catch me by surprise, even though it happens every year, because I was never ready. And we got our message today to say that the meat and the deli counter at Pick and Pay is already the butchery, already Pesach day. So there it is. And I know people are saying, like you said, nappies and things like that. The thing that people need to remember is it's not because the nappies are Pesach day. It's so that you've got it, that it's not one more thing to try and remember to shop for when you are shopping for Pesach or when you are in the middle of cooking and you suddenly realize you're down to the last two nappies. So
absolutely.
The group is not only talking about specifically Pesach, it's about the whole week up to Pesach, I think, but starting 5 weeks early. So that week, if you change over early, like a week before, you're able to start cooking already there without having to worry about whatever's run out in your house. So I did like
yes.
it. I love that. Things like remembering to cut and store your toilet paper, or if you buy the proper tissues, just remember that not all the tissues are separated. So that's things. And also what I like is that you've put on there, like for people, I've seen it, checkers will often do it right before their Pesach run. They put last year's stock on at like massively reduced prices.
Yes, that is very true. Pick and Pay also has specials running where they do the two hour slots where you go in, and for that period of time, you can go and buy the reduced prices of, you know, for the product.
Oh, didn't
know that. Yes. So generally we'll post this on Tehillah's group.
Oh, okay.
And also mine as well. But I understand that people are tight, you know, and people, their bank accounts, we are very limited, especially today.
Yeah.
So that's why we try, even if you buy one box of matzah a week, starting from now, or two boxes, you will have 10 boxes of matzah.
Yeah.
already waiting for you. We also have many women in London, Australia, United States, all around the world as well, who are part of the Pesach Prep group as well. And no matter where you are, you can still get your stuff organized. You can go out and you can follow the Beth Din, what's it called? The green list, for example. They are going to put out this Pesach green list where products do not need a Hechsher, but you can still purchase them provided that you follow which products have been approved by the Beth Din.
That's right. Yeah. I know I saw the other day it was an advert. It was quite funny. I think it was Walmart put matzah out for sale for Hanukkah. So on one of the
that sounds right.
I actually said
that sounds
get
very
right. Pesach prep now.
Absolutely, just quite right up our alley, isn't it? Right?
So it was actually quite funny. They had this whole markdown thing. Buy your matzahs, and I'm
get your matzah now.
Yes, it was the Hanukkah special. So this is why the group is so, great, because it's not stuff I would be aware of in the normal course of the events, and for people who, and I think this is where it's going to be the most helpful, people who are not Shomrei Shabbos or don't generally keep strictly kosher. A lot of families I do know from when I was growing up, Pesach was the one time they changed over everything. And
yes,
the constant refrain was the cost and the expense and everything. And I think this group is great for that as well. Not only for those of us who are keeping kosher and doing that. It's a reminder that coming up Pesach, start getting your stuff, put it in another cupboard somewhere so that when it's time for Pesach, you've got your stuff. And so that we don't perpetuate this myth for our girls and for our children, that Pesach is such a schlep.
Yes. Adrienne, you're so right, because every year we have in our family, we've got a tradition where my children will get excited to wash eggs.
Okay.
They know that every year we will get quite a few trays of white eggs and they'll take it outside and all of them will sit and they get so excited to wash the eggs. And it's not only about finding the Afikoman. It's about, mommy, are you going to make your chocolates cake for Pesach? Or mommy, when can we have some knedels?
Yes.
That is what all it's about. Instilling this excitement for a chag that is possible.
Yeah.
So getting the family excited for a chag, that's how it is.
That's huge, because I know I was busy with something and it had to be Pesach food and everything. And the first thing my daughter said was, are you going to do the mayonnaise? I'm like, yes, I'll do the mayonnaise. why can't we have the mayonnaise during the year? That kind of thing. They actually do get the mayonnaise during the year. Just there's a change in the recipe, so it doesn't quite taste the same.
Yes.
Because during the year I put mustard in, and Pesach time, obviously no mustard. But it's like little things like that where they get excited, where, and for me it was like my husband and my son have this tradition. They make the crane together from when my son was young.
Yes.
But like I said, the little room I've got for Pesach really can't fit too many people. Two is pushing it. And it means that I know that I've got my stuff ready. They can go in there and make the crane, and I don't have to worry about all the millions of things that I haven't got time to do, because 90% of it's done, worrying about the shopping and all that kind of thing and packing away and unpacking and redoing. It's there and it's done. And I don't have to worry about sending them off for gas or whatever. I don't know about your family, but sometimes if you send certain people to the shops for one thing, they just never come home again. And when they do, it's like 100 things in the parcel.
That's very true.
I don't have to worry about that anymore, because it's all organized. So thank you very much. So for those who wanted to know,
you're so welcome.
thanks for coming on the show. I've been talking to Lindy Foreman all about the Prep for Pesach group. It's a WhatsApp group that we will try and put the link on for you. And to join it, you can just click on the link and then it will come up. It will probably be on my Kashering Your Life page for Pesach. It will specifically say Pesach. So those who want to do it, and you know what? It's made such a difference. The one thing that Lindy has always said is you get yourself a black little book and you write your notes in there. And that's been a huge help. Handyman. And I haven't only used that for Pesach in the middle of the year. Like I need a handyman, but I remember the guy from Pesach. Or where did I get my gas from? Or where did I get the breast price for, or whatever it was? If I went, got a vegetable delivery, who did I get it from? So that's what I loved about the list and the things. And if something broke, like we've broken a glass or whatever, it's in my book so that I know that I need to replace the glasses.
Yes. And may I add that we, at the end of Pesach, we take a stock take, if you want to call it a stock take, of all the Pesach products we have left, spices, matzah meal, cocoa. And you wouldn't believe over the years, if you take these items and you double wrap them, seal them, and you place them in your freezer, by the time Pesach comes, you've got it all. Soup mixes. Potato flours can all be stored in your freezer and you can build up an amazing pantry of foods.
Yes.
And write them all down.
I've got spices from, I don't know when, I'm scared to check the dates, but because they've been frozen each year, they're still fine to use. And when I look at the prices of what the spices are at Pesach time, I think last year the one spice was like 100 rand. I can't even remember what spice it was.
It was peppers and thyme and yes.
It's in my freezer. I don't have to worry about it. You know, it's a pleasure. So thank you very much.
It's only a pleasure. And no, I just want to say, you know, take Pesach and take it with love and enjoy. And if we are able to help, you're almost welcome to come on, and thank you for allowing me to come on to your show.
No, thank you for being my guest. It's been an absolute pleasure. I have enjoyed talking to you. I'm sure he's going to murder me because I've probably gone over my limit, but you're listening to the Essen for Essen show on High FM 101.9. I'm Adrian Bogart, your host.
High FM 101.9 megahertz of life. Whether you are chalashing for chalas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fresen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
Welcome back. You're listening to Essen Fresen show on High FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bogarty. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking and food that you would like to share with us, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. Send us a telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at highfm.com. You can reach out on Twitter at highfm or on our Facebook page 101.9 highfm. I hope listening to Lindy talk about her group has made you change your mind about Pesach, because Pesach should not be torturous. So let's continue with the show for today. So I have shared, because it's Purim, I have shared a hamantaschen recipe. Now, I've only ever made hamantaschen once, and this is the recipe I used. I'm not a great fan of hamantaschen. I never have been. I rather just buy them. But this one is from Tori Avey, and it is a biscuit-type hamantaschen. So it is quite nice. It's dainty and delicate. And so I've shared it. It does take a long time because it is an overnight one, or at least got to go in the fridge for 3 hours. I have adjusted it so that it works for our South African measurements and sizes, but you can always look it up on her website if you would prefer to use the American measurements. So it's 3/4 cup of unsalted butter at room temperature. You can substitute with margarine. Try and make sure that the margarine you use says that it is suitable for baking. 2/3 cup of sugar, 1 large egg at room temperature, 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence, 1 teaspoon of grated orange zest, and 2 1/4 cups of flour, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and then water as needed. It's 1 to 5 teaspoons of water. Obviously, you'll need all your equipment. So cut up the butter into small, or margarine into small chunks, and place it in a large mixing bowl. Add your sugar and then beat it so that you cream the butter and sugar together until it's light and fluffy. Slowly add your egg, your vanilla, and your orange essence in orange zest, should I say, into the bowl, and then once again beat until creamy. Sift in your flour and beat until you have a crumbly dough. Now, just so you know, this dough is quite stiff, so you need to be careful not to overwork it. You knead the dough with your hands until you've got a smooth ball. If it crumbles, it's a little bit too dry, so add a little bit of more water, obviously 1 teaspoon at a time, using your hands to knead the liquid into the dough. And when it's smooth and kind of tacky but not sticky, it'll be right for rolling out. Then you need to roll it into a flat disc and put it, wrap it in cling wrap, put it in the fridge to chill for at least 3 hours or overnight. I haven't included filling recipes. You can choose whichever fillings you want. Even jam works for this. Before you assemble the hamantaschen, make sure you've got your fillings on hand. Preheat your oven to 180, flour a smooth surface, unwrap your dough, and then roll it out. When you get it rolled out to the correct consistency, you're going to cut it with a round cookie cutter or a glass, about 6 centimeters. You're going to take the circle. You're going to put a teaspoon of your filling in the center. You're going to fold the corners so that you make a triangle out of your circle. So folding in on, start right, fold over to the center, fold the left over to the center, and then the bottom up, and you will have your nice triangle. The details of how to do this are in the recipe that you will find on the website. You should get about 35 hamantaschen out of this, depending on how thick your dough is. You're going to heat it, cook it in the oven for between 10 to 25 minutes until they cook through and lightly golden. But with this recipe, I found that you do need to check it quite regularly, because it, depending on how thick your dough is, depends on your cooking time. And if you've rolled it quite thinly, it'll be done in 15 minutes. If it's slightly thicker, it'll be about 20 to 25 minutes. Put them in a rack, cool them down, and then store them in your nearest Tupperware. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM 101.9. I am your host, Adrian Bogarty. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you would like to share, please send us a message. You can SMS us 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can send us a Telegram message, 061-895-1019, or email us on air at chaifm.com. You can also reach out on Twitter. The handle is at chaifm, or on Facebook page, 101.9 chaifm. So some updates from around the world, Kashrut notices. So the South African Kashrut notice is that Clover Tropical Ice Lollies, Lipton iced tea manufactured in South Africa, and Cape Dried Fruit Packers have all got updates for us. So Clover Tropical Ice Lollies have been labeled Pyrav, but they are actually dairy. Those are the mango, peach, orange, and pineapple. Your Lipton iced teas that are manufactured in South Africa are no longer approved, and any existing stock, including bottles, tins, and Tetra Paks, should not be used. The Cape Town Beftin has informed the Johannesburg, or the Kashrut Department, that Cape Dried Food Packers caramel chews are no longer kosher certified. Existing stock bearing the Beftin sign should not be used. Then some Kashrut updates from Israel. Arman Aminian Brandy, the Hesher Chug Chasam Sofer, is listed on the bottle. It is unauthorized. More Metukit. The More Metukit snack or candy factory in Petach Tikva lost its Bedatz Hesher because they violated the Kashrut guidelines. Please do not use any of their stuff, even if it is already marked Bedatz. Then from Canada, Quaker Bananas and Cream Instant Oatmeal. They were incorrectly labeled. They are in fact dairy. So there are your updates from around the world. I hope this has once again been a helpful show for you. And I ask that if you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking and food that you would like to share, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. You can send a telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. You can also send a Twitter message. The handle is at chaifm or on our Facebook page, 101.9 chaifm. I am your host, Adrian Bugatti, and you were listening to the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM. Have a fantastic and a freilicher Purim. Stay safe, stay socially distant, and remember to wear your masks, please.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.